Hey fam, welcome back to the podcast. I have great news. For the entire month of December, I will be releasing a new Fam Talk episode each Wednesday. If you haven't yet subscribed to the podcast, be sure to do that on Apple Podcasts or Google Play to be the very first to know when a new episode drops. For today's interview, I'm sharing a wonderful post-Thanksgiving conversation I had with my cousin Rolander about adulting, self-confidence, and how having children can teach you so much about your own journey through this life. So let's get into it. Okay, so Rolander, you have three beautiful children, and they are how old?
Seven. Well, I should have started with the oldest one first.
Start in the middle.
Yeah, 9, 7, and 4. I have started off with a girl and then had a boy in the middle, so I got that out of the way, and then I rounded it out with another girl at the end.
So what have you learned in this journey of parenthood about yourself?
I've learned that you're never really ready for parenthood. I remember when I first found out that I was pregnant with my oldest, I was like 26 or so, and I remember feeling very overwhelmed. I don't know what a teenage pregnancy would feel like because I've never been pregnant as a teenager, but just the idea that my body would somehow, like, that I would somehow have to be responsible for another human being was overwhelming to me at 26. And I was already married and had a job, and I was still overwhelmed.
I felt like you needed to know all the answers.
And just felt really unprepared. Just unprepared, like you feel like you should have stuff packed away. And I remember like sliding like having that bathroom cry when you like slide down to the floor, and I'm like crying, holding my belly, saying I'm so sorry, because I'm dramatic, and because of how unprepared I felt for what I knew was going to be a lifetime of responsibility. I remember leaving the hospital and feeling weird that they were actually letting me leave the hospital with a baby, like feeling like I kidnapped somebody's kid, because, you know, I have lots of cousins, lots of, people younger than me in my life, but I've never really had to watch them on the level that I was going to have to watch this infant and care for this infant. And until I took her home, I felt strange. Driving in the car felt odd. Looking in the back and seeing a car seat, it was weird. But when I took her home, it felt right. Like, you know. So it taught me that I'm never going to be ready for anything in life. And that you always have to take, like, multiple leaps of faith in order to be a good parent. In order to be a good person, you have to take multiple leaps of faith. Yeah.
When do you feel like you started to think of yourself as an adult?
I don't know, but it was way after my first kid. Like, I was still...
a grown woman married.
Yeah,
with a child.
Because you still feel young. Like, there's not a switch that really flips and you're like, okay, well, now it's official. Like, I'm a real grown-up now. I think that I began to consider myself to be more of a grown-up when younger people started to look at me as being more of a grown-up. Then I realized that there was a generational shift that I just had to accept. Okay? Yeah. Because I can no longer just slide in and pretend. The teenagers were going to be like, okay, old lady, like, you know what I mean? Like, if I had a conversation and I was talking about my husband, right, and I was talking about any type of intimate conversation, or anything about my husband and that relationship, and I was involving somebody younger than me, the moment that they started to feel weird, that's when I was like, oh, I guess, like, you know, I'm like a real grown up now. It took me a moment to accept my fate, and now I'm fully invested in it, to be honest. I've accepted it. When people tell me that they think I'm younger, I say, well, thank you, that's awesome. And And then I tell them my real age because, you know, now I feel it in a different way from all the way down to my toes.
Yeah, I went to sub at a school, and I was standing outside the door waiting for the door to be opened, and this little kid came up to the door and went to go run and tell the teacher that someone was waiting for me. And they were like, "Oh yeah, there's a teenager in the hallway waiting for you."
Yeah.
Like, well.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, I remember when I first started dating my husband, I was volunteering at a middle school through AmeriCorps, and because I like basically took a year off of college to volunteer. But anyway, that's another story. So I was doing that, and I remember the first day I went, and the middle schoolers like saw me. Like, some of them had seen me from before, and they knew that I was basically, like, a teacher there, right? I was an assistant teacher. And some of the other kids didn't know that yet. So I'm seeing them, the boys, walk by, and they're eyeing me like if I'm a possibility for them. And I'm, like, 19, 20 years old, okay? Yeah. I'm, like, totally not thinking about a 12-year-old kid, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm hearing one of them say, "No! Like, don't talk to her like that. That's a ma'am." And I'm like, oh, my goodness.
That's a ma'am?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I didn't look like a ma'am to the little boy who was trying to shoot his shot, but he, you know, he had... one of his friends had to let him know, like, "That's a teacher. Don't do it. Don't do it to yourself." Goodness.
That's a
man.
Yeah. That's a new one.
Listen, I promise you now, no 12-year-old would ever think that. And yeah. I don't know when that happened, right. But it happened. Yeah, for sure. I think I'm becoming more of me, or who I think I want to be the older I get. And I wish sometimes that I was this way when I was younger. I wasted so much time trying to get the attention of people that I didn't need to get the attention of, and in a very awkward way, because I've always been me, and to be me is to be an extroverted introvert, or introverted extrovert, I don't know, but it makes sense in my head. So to some people I might seem slightly outgoing, but then I can like have these moods where I seem like I'm brooding and not in the mood to talk to people, and really all of it's me. And in the middle of that, in my younger days, I would be trying to get the attention of inappropriate, of people that I didn't need to get attention of. Whether it was boys or women, that, you know, girls that I didn't need to, you know, invest so much time into pursuing. And I'm getting more comfortable just being who I am without trying to demand the attention of others. So, and I think, parenting has taught me that as well, because I'll see my kids do something and I'm like, oh my goodness, don't make that mistake. And it'll be a little kid mistake, but I see the bigger picture because I see how it shaped me, in ways that I didn't want to be shaped. And mm-hmm. It's like, you're trying to nip things in the bud, but it's like a ball that's rolling down a hill and you can't stop it because it's part of who they are on a cellular level.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, it's like, I mean, is it nature or nurture? Like, can I, like, my oldest daughter is super shy, and I was super shy too. And she'll do this thing where she'll kind of want to say something to somebody, but she'll kind of just stand and be like in their sun, just kind of like basking in the glow of them. But you know that she wants to say hello to them, but she won't open up her mouth to speak. And mm-hmm. I'll be like, just say something. Because I'm having flashbacks of high school where kids would be like, hi. And they like waving me down in the hallway. And I would just kind of give that like shy wave and like put my head in the book because I was just so scared of breaking out of my shell, even though I wanted to hang out with them. It was weird. It was stupid. It was being a teenager. So now I try to get my 9-year-old not to do it. And she does it anyway. And in other ways, I think I wasted times and opportunity that I could have like kept safe to myself. Like, something else that I'll share is my willingness to give up my virginity, just because I felt like it was something to be given away, and I wanted to give it, not even to anyone in particular. It's like I wanted to get rid of it, like if it was something holding me back. And that was stupid, too. Like, it's like a dumb reason. And if I was to, like, play back life over again, that would be something I'm like, well, but what? Like, yeah, it made complete sense to me at the time. Okay, and this is like college years. Like, I was like thinking, like, you know, this is logical for me to want to just get rid of this thing. And it wasn't for any particular reason. I wasn't even in any type of situation at the time. I wanted to get rid of something that I didn't want anymore. So now I try to explain to my children how important it is that you only get to give that away once. It's an odd concept, though. Because when you're in that stage of your life, you don't think of it that way. And now we're in a new era where it's all about owning your sexuality and all that kind of stuff. But what is that really? To own it. To own it, does that mean that you give it away because you own it? To the first thing just because you can?
Yeah.
Or does it mean like you feel empowered because you make that choice when it is the appropriate time to make that choice? Which is totally different.
Yeah.
Than just giving it away like a free deck of cards. I'm just saying. Like, yeah. Being a mother taught me that too. Like, I thought about things differently. I thought about my body differently after becoming a parent. I mean, it would have been the hope that I would have thought about those things before, but I really didn't. I thought about my body in a different way, about how fearfully and wonderfully made I am, and how can I, you know, make sure that my kids understand that and that they respect it in a way that I maybe didn't respect it, you know, before. You know.
When do you think you'd let your kids date?
Much younger than my mother let me date, which was like never. Which I think was
younger than never is still right? A wide range.
I know. But she didn't really like believe in it per se. She was more so into the let's just have friends. Everybody, you know, just have a whole bunch of friends and our friends can hang out. But the thing about it is, you're a human being. You're still going to catch feelings with somebody. Somebody's going to catch feelings with you. And somebody has to help you navigate those feelings. You can't just ignore them until you're old enough to make it an official situation where you're walking down the aisle. Like, there are the in-between parts as well. And, you know, so because of that, I'm more open to them just being open with me. For instance, when my oldest went to like kindergarten, she came back and told me she had a boyfriend like the first day of school, and I was like, oh wow, so that's interesting, what's his name? She was like, I don't know, I'm gonna go back. I'll let you know tomorrow. Like,
we're still getting,
and I didn't freak out about it, which is something that I think that would have freaked out my mom, you know.
Yeah,
she would have made it a thing. But I didn't make it a thing. And it lived, it died within a couple of weeks. You know what I mean? And it was what it was. He was, you know, I don't know. He was just some little boy who had a little crush that lasted a microsecond.
Right.
You know? And that's okay. And I think sometimes you have to, like, let things exist in whatever moment they exist in. And not try to make everything a big thing. I try to make her feel comfortable. I try to make all of my kids feel comfortable talking to me about whatever's going on, because it's not a shutdown thing. If they say they have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, it's not something that I'm going to feel the need to squash. I just want to be aware so that I can guide.
Yeah.
Now, how old will they be able to be when they can go out on an actual date? It really depends on the kid. Because if they show some type of maturity, I'm still not seeing I'm going to let the person pick them up and drop. But I might drop them at the movie and walk around the mall until they're done. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I might let them have a small idea of a moment because I want them to know what is appropriate and inappropriate behavior. And how are they going to know? When will they figure it out? When they go to college? Like, and that's such, you know, that's such a horrible time to figure it out because everybody's too busy trying to be naughty, you know? if you don't know what is appropriate and you're like, oh my gosh, this is like my time, like, you know, you'll be finding yourself in some inappropriate situations just trying to have your what you think is your adult moment when really it's the most childish moment you'll ever have.
Yeah, I don't think I ever had a conversation about dating with my mom, really. Not that I can recall. I do remember I was getting my hair done for a banquet. And the lady who was doing my hair asked me if I had a boyfriend. And my mom said, no, she's not allowed to.
Oh. And how old were you?
Junior in high school. And I was like, I'm not allowed to. When did we decide that?
Girl.
I didn't know I wasn't allowed to. Like, how are you just gonna, like, make rules and not let me know? And I was mad, because I didn't care.
Right.
But I was like, now I do care. Now that you
find it.
Yeah.
That's like when my mother didn't decide that I had a curfew until I started dating my husband. Because until that moment, I'd always come home at a reasonable time. She never had to worry about it. All of a sudden, I was staying out super late, you know, hanging out all day. And she's just like, okay, you have to be back at a specific time. I'm like, wait a minute. Because now I'm in my 20s. And we never established a curfew whole time I was in high school or, you know what I mean? Now I'm in my 20s and you want to set rules? No, this isn't going to work. Like, if you want to have conversations about it, you really need to begin these conversations early. And will there be pushback? Of course. But I think that some things just kind of need to be understood. Like, I used to not want to tell my mom where I was going because I felt like she was just going to be in my business too much. And who knows? Because my mom was a little bit, you know, a little unpredictable, and I'm pretty sure if I gave her the specifics and she felt like I was taking too long, she would have just pulled up on me, because she's done that before, and that would have been embarrassing. But now I think it's just a safety issue for somebody to know. When I tell my husband where I'm going, it's not because I feel like he needs to know all of my whereabouts. It's because I want to make sure that if something were to happen to me, he'd know at least the last place I was supposed to be at.
Yeah.
Like, tell the cops, like, she said she was going to, so you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, someplace to find my body. Like, but when I was younger, like, you know, a teenager and even in college, I felt like that was, you were in my boundaries. Like, you trying to figure out, you trying to know where I was going is you trying to know my business. And I didn't want you to know my business like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which was stupid. I mean, I still understand the logic behind it, but it's still stupid because of the safety aspect,
yeah.
Which is the adult in me talking now, you know
yeah.
what I mean? Yeah, because I'm still very private. Like, people, you know, I'm, like, still very, like, this is me, but still, like, somebody should know. Like, tell one friend,
yeah,
whose house you're going over by, please. Like, people shouldn't have to be doing a super track. What about you? What has adulting taught you?
I think the biggest thing that I realized, like, I don't know, it's just, like, one day just, like, hit me that you have to kind of decide you're gonna be an adult. Like, really, it's about doing things you don't want to do.
Yes.
And I did not know that that's what was coming. I had no clue. And so, like, now I try to, like, I've been making a very deliberate effort to try to do things that I don't want to do, like, make it a routine and make it something that I love to do, in air quotes. Oh. Like, washing dishes. I hate washing dishes. I feel like when I wash dishes after, right, like, directly after I eat, like, it takes the joy out of eating. Because, like, I'm eating and I'm like, but then I have to go wash these dishes and I just want to, like, leave them there. But I've been trying to, like, as soon as they hit the what do you call it?
The sink. The sink. You're like, what is that thing?
The thing with the thing. Silver most of the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been really trying, and I just didn't realize it was going to take so much effort.
So, sometimes I don't want to do things, but there's no magical person that's going to, like, pick up after me. And, like, I literally was yelling at my kids this morning because they trashed the house, and I'm like, clean up the house. Why? Because I don't want to live in a trash can. Like, I want to live in a home and not a trash can. Clean it up. And that's also part of the thing about being an adult. You have to, if you want to eat, you have to cook food.
Yes.
If you want money to, like, eat out, then you have to work. And if working what you're doing isn't enough, then you got to work harder, figure out something. Like, you got to, like, think these thoughts. I remember going on, like, trips with my mom. And feeling like I didn't need any cash because I had my mom with me. If I need anything, she'll just buy it. Like, that's just how I really thought about it. I didn't know where she got her money from. Did it matter? I mean, you know, because at the end of the day, I knew that my needs were going to be met. And now that's me. You know, my needs have to be met, you know, through me.
Yeah, sometimes, like, if I really sit back and think about how, like, for the rest of my life, I have to decide what to eat for every meal, Like, I have to plan it out. It, like, stresses me out sometimes. Like, this is never
ending. Like, Pinterest helps me out so much because even, you know, like, looking at a cookbook, you're like, unless it comes with pictures, you really know, you know, it's like, am I really feeling for that, though? But then you look at something on Pinterest and you're like, this speaks to me. I'll try it.
And then it's sometimes it's so easy to forget all the things that are possible, like, to eat. Like, because you, like, keep eating the same thing over and over. Sometimes I just call Zakiya.
And I'm like, like, I need some options.
Yeah, like, give me something interesting.
Like Spaghetti Wednesdays, lentils and rice Mondays. And then being a parent, like, sometimes I'll think something's an amazing idea and I'm like, this is gonna be perfect. I've Googled it. It says that kids love it, and like the kids will be like, oh, I don't like this. You made this. And then you're like, oh my gosh, I spent so much time in the kitchen and y'all are like literally like, I could have ate cereal. Like, I could have ate cereal. This morning Janessa threw away like her whole bowl of cereal this morning because she said it was too soggy. And I'm like, do you understand that you're not going to eat until lunchtime? Like, I'm not giving you anything else because you're throwing away. And she looked at me and she's like, I said, I don't want to hear you whining about it. I want to hear nothing. For that is a full meal for you.
Is it true that you met Clinton on MySpace?
No, but it's sort of true. It wasn't MySpace. I met him on college, whatever it is. It's a website that's defunct. It no longer exists. I think it was College Club. Mm. It's defunct. And it was not a dating, thing, but I think the young people at that time just made it into that because it had, like, lots of, like, chat rooms. Mm-hmm. And you're chat rooming with people your age.
Yeah.
That probably lived in your city. And then you would send pictures back and forth. And you're like, they look interesting. You know? And so you would, you know, meet up off of that. You know? And it wasn't a dating site. But it really, you know. So I met him off of that. And I saw his pictures. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. And we met. And I think our first idea for ourselves was that we were just going to be friends. That it wasn't going to be anything to us at all, that we were just gonna be friends. You know, that didn't work. We became more than friends.
You said it like you failed.
Yeah, I mean, no, it became something so much more. But I'm sure that both he and I were both like, okay, well, maybe this is a possibility, you know. But when we first met, it wasn't like so like immediate sparks or anything like that. I mean, I was definitely wearing some platform sneakers, which, when I think about it, is hideous. Like, why? Like, my sneakers were, like, five. Oh, they're so chunky and ugly. Every time I think about it, I'm just like, why was I wearing, you know, like, just not. And we went bowling, and I don't know how to bowl. So, you know. But I'm the type that, like, I don't like scary movies, but if I'm going on a date with a guy, I'll go to see a scary movie because I figure, like, well, you know, give me time to be like, ah, you know. Get a little hug in there real quick. Oh, look. Because I hate scary movies. But, you know, so I was like, bowling, I mean, I guess it give him a chance to teach me something. He was very patient with me, which has worked out very well because he's still very patient with me because we are very the same and very opposite. And it works itself out. It works itself out in a lot of ways. Yeah. So now when people talk about, I guess like before it'd be like somebody say they met somebody on the internet. It's like, oh my gosh, you met someone on the internet. But now it's like, there's so many apps that people meet people on so many different platforms. Sometimes you don't really get to get those organic experiences where you like talk to somebody and it's like a meeting of the minds. Mm-hmm. It don't always work out. Like life isn't perfect that way. I had rare encounters where somebody was, like met me and was like, okay, yeah, let's go out sometime. But when you're chatting or something, then you're able to have that back and forth, and the person's able to feel more comfortable with you. So whatever vibe you're giving off as a person, and I don't know what vibe I give off, other people can tell me. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, in my head, I'm cool, but I'm probably, I might be, like, real scary on the outside. I don't know. Because, you know, I'm the type of person that somebody be like, you know, if a guy walks up to me, he's going to say something like, why don't you smile more? You need to smile more, baby, or something stupid like that. And I'm like, you know, give that sick smile that I'm like, why am I smiling? I don't even want to smile right now. He done made me smile just so he can see me smile. Like, oh my gosh. Mm-mm. Have you ever had a guy ask you to take your glasses off?
No.
I've had a guy ask me to take off my glasses. Just so he can, like, see my, you know. And they go, okay, yeah, you look, like, it shouldn't, like, and I was a type of young lady to do it. See that growth in me now?
And
only think about it later. But then again, I mean, I've had a guy ask me to take my elbows and touch them and not understand why until I was doing it.
Wait, do what? Oh, touch your elbows behind you?
But I'm just so innocent minded. I'm like, why am I doing? And I'm like, oh, okay. I see what you're doing there. Okay.
Wow.
So, yeah. Rude. But I'm slow with it. So, you know, it gave people plenty of opportunity to play a little mind games with me, because I would just be slow in the uptake. Like, what are we doing? Why? What is this? What, the elbows? So the trick is, I put my elbows right, and what's going to happen after that? Like, they've seen all they wanted to see. Like, yeah, that was my dating. Yeah, oh my gosh. My husband came in and saved the day. It'd have been Sex in the City for me. You know what I mean? One horrible episode after. I mean, I watched them things and I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm so happy that is not my existence right now. Because just like a bad sitcom starring me. Oh my goodness. Like a Seinfeld episode. Night in shine. Oh, he was wearing carpenter jeans. Night in shining carpenter jeans.
You know, everybody has like their flaws or their, I guess you can call them. I cannot say the word eccentricities.
Okay.
But like in a relationship, how do you determine like things that you just accept about a person for who they are versus like, because like, you know, everybody has their stuff, mm-hmm, versus things that you're just like, you know, I don't need to
add that to whatever.
Yeah, I don't need to add that to my.
I mean, I think it really depends, because I truly believe that relationships can kind of, that they evolve. So how you meet somebody is not necessarily how they'll grow and change. So now if somebody's doing something and you guys are just dating and it bothers you, then it'll bother you more later. But some things will come up over time. And at that time, if you're like in a committed relationship with that person, then it's like, is this an issue that will lead to us no longer being together? Or is this just something, you know, some type of temporary thing? Somebody's like, you know, if somebody's always like scratching their butt and I'm just like, I just can't like it. Like all the time though, you know. But other things, you know, like maybe somebody has an odd laugh, like, okay, is that gonna torture me? Like, and then what if I have kids with them and the kids start laughing like that? I'm gonna be like, oh my gosh, you know. Like, you really have to think about like what means the most to you. I don't think eccentricities bother me that much, because everyone has them. And even though you might think you're the most normal person in the world, like, I know I'm an odd one. You know what I mean? I know. And like the older,
yeah,
I get, the
too.
Yeah, like I'm aware of them. Like the little things, like, and I'm already like that. My husband and I are already that couple where I'm like, can you find such and such? I can't find such and such. It's over here, honey. And he's like grabbing this from whatever random place I put it. You know what I mean? And I'm like walking around the house looking confused, and he's just picking up stuff and passing it to me. Like, we're already there. And that's an eccentricity. Like, that's an odd, like, you know, like, why are you so forgetful or whatever? That's just, you know, part of my makeup. That's part of who I am. I like to wake up in the morning and like take time in the mirror. He just knows. He's gonna find my hair in the sink or like makeup powder in the sink. Like he just, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just part of what make, and he has to be like, do I love this woman? Or do I just hope the next one doesn't do this? Like, you know what I mean? And chances are they do it too, and you'll be dealing with an even worse thing that you didn't even think was going to be problematic, you know what I mean? And this, you know.
Yeah.
You really have to think about it. What are you willing to deal with? And what you're willing to deal with is not necessarily going to be what friends, family, whatever can deal with, and it's okay because it's not their person.
Yeah.
You know, people get so...
So you have to figure out your own life for yourself.
Yeah, because there's going to be things about you that the person's going to get that your family's not necessarily going to get on that level. Mm-hmm. And that's cool, too, you know, because it's supposed to be a situation where you grow with a person. So, you know, being willing to grow is going to include developing some odd tics along the way, I think. For sure. Like, I'm an odd tinker, man.
An odd what?
And I'm an odd tinker. Like, I am. I know. Like, I know. Okay? And then I'm turning into my mom, so I'm developing some of her habits, and I just, you know, I draw them into myself like a warm blanket, because when she's long gone, I will continue it on, you know, and it's just becoming part of who I am, and that's okay.
What do you think are the most important life lessons you'd like to pass along to your children?
Well, the first life lesson would revolve around the word love. Having love for yourself, true love for yourself, which would involve, you know, respecting your body. Because to respect it is to love it, to honor it. Mm-hmm. Showing love to yourself by giving yourself the time that you need to be the person that you need to be. Sharing love with others. Doing things that you enjoy loving to do and not just for a paycheck. The life lesson would really be love. People do things and it has nothing to do with love. People have friendships and there's no love in their friendship. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. People have entire careers and they hate everything about it. They love nothing about it. And that shouldn't be. If I were to die tomorrow, I would hope that my kids would live a life of love. You know? Where everything, they're eat, breathing, you know, chewing it up, spitting it out, love. Where people can see it coming off of them in waves because of the love that they have for themselves and the genuine love that they have for others. Not fake stuff. You know, meeting people where they are, but loving them just the same. And not going outside of their own individual character to do it. Because everybody has a different way of showing love. But I want them to still reflect it. And I think, you know, because for me, love also involves peace. And I wish for them peace. I think that sometimes we take so much time being so busy that we don't have our peaceful, quiet moments. There's no peace. I think that having a life full of love and making sure that peace is involved in it is an awesome life lesson. See, if somebody is loving up themselves, then they would have created their own barriers to some of the things that the world tries to throw their way. If somebody tries to tell them that they're not pretty, they were like, who are you talking to? Like, me?
I love me.
Not pretty? Like, oh, you're not smart. Who's not smart? You're like, mm-hmm. You must not know whose child I am. I want them to be that kind of kid. Mm-hmm. If somebody tries to make them feel as though they need to do something sexually or they need to smoke something or whatever, I want them to be like, you know what? Like, my body's on up. My body's a temple. And and think of it as a spiritual, like a for real thing. Like, don't you understand? Like, my body's a temple. Like, do you understand what that means? Like, I'm not just gonna put just anything into my body. Mm-hmm. Like, and for real, like own it. And it's not like something lame to say. Like, it's like, do you understand what this is? And if I were to give it to you, you don't even deserve, like, what are you talking about? I want them to be cocky like that. Mm-hmm. So a life lesson, also cockiness.
Like, that's a rare.
Listen, it's a required gift, but if they have that love with it, it won't be too much.
Right.
But it will save them from a measure of sins if they feel like they're too precious for certain things.
Yeah. Wow. I've never heard cockiness described like that.
Listen. Because when I say cocky, I really mean a good measure of self-esteem. Mm-hmm. Esteem, yeah. Of self-worth, you know, which again still wraps around to love.
And I feel like a lot of times the message of humility overshadows that. You know, like, sometimes you just have to own that you're great. Like, you're awesome.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you're too humble, then you can kind of get, like, rolled over.
Yeah. Like, the people who aren't even as good as you will pass you by because they're not humbling themselves. Now, I can see, you know, being strategic about it sometimes, because mm-hmm. you can't be like, I'm just so amazing. Like, it's because it's not always the time and place for that. But, you know, people shouldn't be afraid to shine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes you can shine silently. Like, you don't have to say how amazing you are. People can, like,
knowing
see
that within yourself.
Yeah, and people can see it, and you wouldn't even have said anything. You know what I mean? People can sense it, that you feel confident. You know, that's when you get the unusual compliment, and you were just like, you know, thank you. And then you try to be humble with your response, but you were already feeling it anyway.
Yeah, like, I knew that was great.
Like, I like your shoes. Like, thank you. But you already liked your shoes, too, so, right. You know. It's like, it's that. It's that, yeah. This false humility or this idea that you have to be super humble to succeed or something like that. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that at all. Nah. You can be silently cocky. Just silently, just like a fox with a chicken in their mouth, just chewing, you know, just
what a visual.
Yeah, I want to leave you with a visual of the silently cocky experience that I'm hoping to leave my children with. Oh my goodness, because then when I'm gone, I know they'll be safe. If they have that love and peace and that self-worth about themselves, oh my goodness, they'll be safe. You know, the money will come. You know, the situations will come because somebody who's dynamic like that will invite it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They'll be magnets for it. But I want them to have the self-esteem and self-worth to protect themselves from what they need protecting from.
Yeah.
And if you don't have good self-worth, you'll just kind of like invite crap. Or if you're just like super naive like I was, you'll just la 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 into some foolishness. You know, and I want their sidestep game to be so strong. Oh, you know, so that they miss the foolishness. They don't have to step in every puddle I stepped in order to be amazing. I mean, they could, you know, they'll probably find their own new puddles, but don't step in the same ones I did. That's all I ask.
Yeah. I think that covers it.
Okay.
That's a great way to end it. Like, own your awesomeness.
Own it.
Last word.
Yeah.
And that's a wrap. Did you enjoy this episode? Let me know. It means so much to me to hear your feedback. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts or send me a quick email at famtalkpodcast@gmail.com. Our theme music was written by DeCarlo Bowie. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you back here next week. Until then, peace and love. Later, fam.